Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby. How do you go from growing up in just a small town in Arizona to becoming one of the most successful entrepreneurs in the country? That is the subject of today's Speak and Get What You Want podcast with our guest, Michelle Stratton. How are you, Michelle?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And you know, I have several questions for you as we're going to unpack what it took for you to grow up in just small town America to being one of the great business leaders, one of the great minds in business, not only in the state of Arizona, but in the country. And let me just start by asking you this question, Michelle. Have you always been a big thinker? Is that since you were a kid? Is this something that you've always kind of trained yourself to do?
No, I think I was slow. Actually, I think I was pretty easygoing and go slow. I was pretty lazy, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
So what?
I think that's the problem with being the fourth of six children, though. So I'm really kind of lost in the mix, but I was okay.
Okay, but then how did you go from that to becoming what you are? And by the way, I love that you say that, because so often people will respond with, you know what, I was just kind of born that way. I was just kind of, that's the way I've always been programmed. So how did you begin to train yourself to thinking a little bit differently?
I think a lot of it was baptism by fire, because I married TK, and TK was born that way, and I was not. So it took having like the need, the necessity of having to learn how to do it. Sink or swim, figure it out, burn down, die, or figure it out.
Right, right. And you know what's interesting is you give yourself, you know, you always have operated with a high level of humility. You know, you always attribute success to well, I was fortunate for this circumstance or this opportunity. But having worked with you for so many years, I also know differently. I also know that you have gone and created that success. You've gone and made things happen. And so I'm going to share five specific things that cause what I've observed in you that have caused people to think bigger. Because I know if I were to ask you specifically, you in all humility, you just say, you know what, I've just worked hard and I've been very fortunate. But I think there's been a lot of intentionality too in what you've done. So I'm going to share these five things and you share with me if you agree or you can even disagree with me, Michelle. And I'm going to list them. So number five, the key to you, your success, and to anyone's success in dreaming bigger is number five, having a great support system, great people around you. Would you agree with that?
I think especially either business partner or life partner or husband. I mean, I have a great husband and we've always been able to work together and figure out together. And so that is huge support to be able to have that. But we've also been very good with our company, and thanks to you too, with all the training you did with all of our employees, to be able to create like such an awesome community of employees where we all build together and work with each other and held each other high, held each other accountable, called each other out in a safe space. And having all of that definitely gives you a much higher landing board than Jeff Bob.
No question. No question. And being very, and I know you're very, very selective in the people that you're spending a lot of time with and making sure that the people on your team, you know, share those same core values that you share. And really, you know, when it comes down to that, obviously you have a great spouse and someone that you support each other tremendously to be able to accomplish that. So number five, a strong support team, which is good. We both agree on that. Now I'm going to say number four. Now I'm going to be curious if you think this should be ranked higher or if we're good at number four, and that is a willingness to take risks.
I think that may be up higher, but I got to hear the other one first to see. But being a business owner, I feel like it's a constant risk. And I think, you know, having employees with our business, that's the one thing I noticed that defined us most of the time, is most employees did not want that responsibility, that risk, that stress. And so they'd rather work for someone than do that on their own. And that's never scared me. So right. I think that comes from being raised by parents that own their own business. And I know they took risks when I was little. And so I don't think it's any different.
It's so true. And some people are, you know, but whether you own a business or not, willing to take risks, I think, is critical to just enjoying life more, right? And just living life bigger, regardless of what you've chosen to do in business, right?
No, I would completely agree with that, because that comes down to thinking bigger on anything that you want to do. One thing I've always been good at, even though I'm extremely slow and lazy as a child, was if there was something I wanted, I was really good at being intentional about figuring out how to do that. And that's something that I've always had and I'm able to use in business.
I love that. I love that. Just being intentional, saying, okay, this is what I want and I'm going to get after that.
Yeah,
and we've talked about that in other episodes, Michelle, where just people are not clear. And in fact, I heard your daughter say the same thing, that getting clear on what you want so you can really achieve what you're really looking for. Okay, so that's number four. Let's go to number three here. Okay, okay. And it kind of is connected with a little bit of what you just said there a moment ago. And number three is having a clear, bold vision.
Okay. I can see, I would almost switch those.
Oh, interesting.
Because you could have a big vision, but if you're not willing to take the risk, then what good does that do you?
Interesting. Right? Yeah. No, I love that. Because one has to lead the other.
Right. Right. And being intentional of like what you want, whether it's like a car or a piece of jewelry or a vacation you want to go on or something like that, if you could able to set that standard of what you want and expectation, then you're able to focus on achieving that.
I love that. I love that. Okay. So that clear, bold vision and getting, and it's incredible to me to think about, and I know we just mentioned it a moment ago, but how often people just really are just wandering through life without really that understanding of, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to accomplish. You know, right. And one of the things that you have always taught me is you're like, live bigger, think bigger, you know, and put things out there. And it's amazing when you do put things out there, how the opportunities come and manifest themselves there when you're putting it out there.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you put your intention out on something, how the right people or the right things fall into place to get you there. But if you don't know where you're going, anywhere will be, right?
Right. Well, and I wonder, Michelle, how often you don't even recognize the opportunity because you're not sure where you're going. So even when those other things come before you, you don't recognize them to jump on them because you're not even sure where you're headed.
Right.
And so having that clear, bold vision, that's number three. Okay, so here's number two. And this one, you have to be passionate about this because I've watched you and TK really rely heavily on this. And this number two is having inspiring role models or mentors, people around you that can really help you. Are you okay with that being number two?
I'm trying to think who my role models are. I know TK has some that have made a huge difference in his life for him. Dan Pena's one. Besides my mom, who I love, and my parents, who are great people, I've never been one who really focuses on role models. I just kind of live the life that I want to live. That kind of sounds weird saying out loud, but I can't.
But you know, it's interesting, Michelle. I've watched you, though, gravitate towards people and go, okay, I want to learn from that individual. I want to learn from them. I want to learn from them.
Fair.
I want to learn from them. And so although you may not have somebody, and perhaps the term role model is the wrong term, right? But when you set people up as, okay, what can I do to learn from them?
You know? And I'm very good at that. But I don't have like a person that like is my like, oh, this guy just inspires me. I don't have anyone I really follow that way. I have been, ever since I was young, really good at picking up the traits that I like or don't like in people and being like, oh, I want to be like that. So I'm going to start practicing so I can do that. Like my sister, for example, she's an amazing pianist, very good at the piano, super brilliant, like just naturally super smart. I was super slow, not smart, and not very good at the piano, but I wanted to be my sister. So it pushed me to drive, practice more, and play more so that I could be almost as good as her. I'm not as good as her, but I'm pretty good now.
You know, but that's exactly right. That's it. And I love that you bring up these different perspectives, because people listening right now might be thinking, well, I don't have a role model and I've never really had role models. And maybe they have, just not in the traditional sense that we see them at.
Yeah, role model would probably not be a word. Maybe examples, because I'm really good. I mean, I was the fourth of six children. And my oldest brother and sister were not the greatest kid. And I remember watching them and going, well, I'm not going to do that. My dad didn't like that. I'm not going to do that either. I was a really good kid because of it. But I do learn from other people and the traits that I like. I'll never forget talking to my sister once when she was talking about one of her good friends who was just an amazing person. She'd come over and serve her dishes or help with the kids without constantly being there to help her. And I thought, I want to be that person. I want to be that person. People go, man, she's just so great. Comes and helps or shows up to do things. And I really focus on trying to be into that, to be that type of person. And I still look up that woman that my sister told me about, and she's an incredible person. And I want to be honest, and I don't necessarily do it. So like, oh, she's amazing. I just want to make people feel good. Like right. My sister said, because that her friend was so good with her. And I want to be able to help people in that way.
I love that. I love that. And that's, I mean, so maybe we change that number two to inspiring individuals, right? Yeah. Like where you are with people, inspiring people that inspire you, Michelle, to want to be better, and then looking for those characteristics. I think that's one of the things that's always impressed me about you, Michelle, is you're always looking and observing to see what people are doing and why they're successful doing it. And then you emulate those qualities within those individuals. And you're always looking for those people to help you get where you need to be.
And you've noticed that? I don't feel like that's very obvious.
Well, I have noticed it, because I've had things that you shared with me that when I was like frustrated with something or trying to teach something, you turn to me and say, hey, let me share something with you that I learned from this individual, right? And you shared with me. I mean, one thing that comes to mind specifically right now is when you talked to me about the individual that inspired you with the vanilla milkshakes.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And you shared with me that there was an individual that you were learning from that said one of the things he does when he goes to a hotel is he asks if you have a vanilla milkshake, right?
Right.
And if they don't, what does he do?
So, yeah, he had the vanilla milkshake principle, which I still love. I've never forgotten, because I'm a huge person on thinking outside the box. And I get frustrated when button pushers can't think outside the box.
Right.
This guy talked about milkshakes. He traveled and talked in conventions all the time, and his reward whenever he settled after a good long day was to order big vanilla milkshake. And he said, like, 8 times out of 10, the host and staff were like, oh, we don't have milkshakes on the menu. And he'd be like, okay, make a big glass, your biggest glass we have, full of vanilla ice. Yeah, I guess. You can give me a glass of milk and your biggest scoop. You're like, oh, sure, okay, so. And they would give it to him, and then he'd just make his own vanilla milkshake, right? And he said, like, 1 or 2 times out of 10 times, a kid on the line would be like, hey, we don't have vanilla milkshakes on the menu, but I got you. I'll make it work. I'll bring it up. Because every hotel has vanilla ice cream. They just don't have the button that says vanilla milkshake. So they're like, we can't do that. And so I always thought of that, and legitimately leaving that convention, I went to a taco stand in the airport, and they had three tacos. They had carne asada, veggie, pork, or whatever. And I said, okay, can I get a veggie taco, but can you put carne asada on it? She's like, no, we can't do that. I said, really? Charge me, come take your both, but throw it on there, make them? She's like, we can't do that. I said, okay, I'll get two carne asada tacos and two veggie tacos. And then I had to just mash it all together and eat it, which is great, but what are the odds of leaving that convention, literally running into that just cannot think outside the box and be like, sure, I'll charge you for all four, but I'll take them back for good. Mm. You know, they just cannot think outside of the buttons that they have to push.
Right. And so, and I noticed, do you remember the individual who taught the vanilla milkshake principle?
I don't remember his name.
Okay. So you may not have these quote unquote role models like you mentioned TK has. However, you're inspired by those individuals and then you go apply those principles and never forget them. And so I just want to really emphasize that point. And number two, of really dreaming bigger is learning from, and whether you call them role models or you just call them inspiring individuals, but right. Learning from those people and then applying them. And Michelle, that's one thing you do. You take it and then you go apply it as well.
I try.
Well, and that's key. Now here, okay, so here, Michelle, here's the last one. This is number one. Tell me if you agree with this one. And this number one is a growth mindset. Having that mindset of, oh, okay, I want to continue to hunger and thirst for growth.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. And that is also one other thing. Even though I was lazy and slow, I always wanted to progress. Mm. I was really good at saving money from a young age. I was able to travel to so many countries before I was 17 and buy two cars and do all the things that that's what I wanted to be able to do. So I was really motivated to save money so that I could do the things that I wanted to do. And it doesn't stop. Mm. I mean, I have everything that I ever could want in life, but I want to keep growing. I want to keep progressing. And I think that in general, that's a human trait. Mm. I feel like if we're not growing, then we're dying.
So true.
Right?
And so. I've seen it in business, Michelle. I've never seen a business be able to just grow to a certain point and just stay there. I've just never seen it, right? They're like, oh, we're going to do 10 million and then just stay there.
Ever.
But the reality is it doesn't work. You either are growing or dying, as you said, because it just, you have to have that mindset to continue to want to grow and become better. And I agree with you. I think that's just God put within each of us, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And you know, it's always crazy. Cassie said the other day, she's like, she was telling someone else this, and she says, you know, Chad always says, if you retire, you die, right? And I'm not sure if that's true that I always say that, but I know I believe it, right? Because
right.
I think you should always be wanting and striving for growth. And when you retire, at least for me, retirement's not something that I put up on my wall and say, one day I'm quitting everything, right? I want to keep growing. Every day I want to retire from other things. Like I want to retire from this. I want to retire from that. But the reality is
from parent pickup lines.
Right. But having that sincere desire for growth and that desire to really build, and that hopefully that never, never goes away.
Yeah, I would agree. I would hope it never does either.
Okay. So Michelle, we switched numbers three and four, but just to recap, number five, a strong support system. Number four, you said a clear, bold vision. Number three, a willingness to take risks. Because, and by the way, I do love that you put those there, because a willingness to take risks should inspire that clear, bold vision.
Right.
You know, And then number two, having those inspiring people around you and learning, and not just learning, but actually doing. Because a lot of people, Michelle, I can't tell you how many people go to a conference or something and they get inspired and then they go back and do nothing, right? And so be around those inspiring people that, and then go and do something. And then, of course, that last one we just mentioned, having that growth mindset.
Yeah, I love that.
But you know what? I'm just gonna, as we finish up, Michelle, this is all fueled. One thing that is completely fueled by all of this, and anyone who has spent any time with you and TK, I believe this is one of your, I don't know if I shouldn't say superpower, but I know it fuels your success, is there is a deep level of humility. As we think about these five keys to thinking bigger, you and TK have always had approached dreaming bigger in a humble way, meaning your success is based upon you and you don't compare yourself to others. You're just humbly trying to be the best version of you. And you're never going, oh, I've got to have more than them, or I've got to do this better than them. You're saying, I got to do this and dream bigger, better for me. And I love that.
That's fair. I would feel like that fits both. And I'm a part of that being off social media. That's great because you're not comparing, right?
Right.
They say comparison. I remember watching a guy talk about it. He said, you know, comparison's so funny. We get stuck in the comparison trap, right? Keeping up with the Joneses,
Totally.
where we build a big house, we have the nicest cars, and throw the biggest parties for people that we're not going to invite. We don't want to bother. We don't want to spend time with them, but just be able to have it in front of them. You know, and like, what's the point of that? We do things so that everyone can be successful. Everyone has a goal. We want everyone to be better and be their best self.
I love that. I love that. And that's a whole nother segment that we're going to talk on at another point in time. But Michelle, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your insights. Thanks for all that you shared with us. And thank you for the inspiration that you give so many. So appreciate you,
That's
Michelle.
you.
Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.